This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The 85th Texas legislature is over. And while the threat of a special session looms, most of us are still trying to figure out what actually made it across the finish line. There were tons of law enforcement and criminal justice reform bills proposed in the legislature this year, and many did not pass. Others that did have brought muted cheers from advocates who say they want to see more. We're looking at a few of those bills now. To start, our statewide coordinating editor, Rachel Osier-Lindley, looks at possibly the most high-profile bill aimed at reforming the state's criminal justice system.
The Sandra Bland Act is named for a 28-year-old African-American woman who, in 2015, was arrested after a traffic stop in Prairie View. She was found dead in her Waller County jail cell 3 days later. The bill originally had a laundry list of changes to make policing fairer, cracking down on racial profiling, making it tougher for police to search vehicles after a traffic stop, and more. Law enforcement groups criticized it, saying it would make their jobs harder. Geneva Reed Veal, Sandra Bland's mother, testified in the bill's defense last month.
So I don't want you to just tell me you stand with me. I don't want you to go behind the door and say you stand with me. I want you to prove to the world, just as my daughter's death was nationally televised, that you stand with my family.
But as the bill made its way through the Texas House and Senate, many key provisions were dropped or altered, and it disappointed Bland's family. Sharon Cooper, Bland's sister, told the Texas Tribune, quote, "It's a complete oversight of the root causes of why she was jailed in the first place." Cooper says the bill, as passed, won't fix the systemic failures that led to her sister's death. It would, however, divert people in a mental health crisis to treatment centers instead of jail. In a hearing, Senate Criminal Justice Committee Chair John Whitmire said even a stripped-down version is progress.
If we made it as comprehensive as it was when we introduced it, we probably wouldn't be having this hearing today.
Also approved this session, an effort to reduce the number of poor people who end up in jail because they can't pay fines. Christopher Connolly from KERA in North Texas has been tracking Senate Bill 1913.
Days before the end of the legislative session, Houston Democrat Sinfronia Thompson offered her colleagues this hypothetical. "You've got a driver," she said. "They've got a busted taillight, and they can't afford to fix it until they get their next paycheck."
But before they're able to do that, they get a ticket. And then they're not able to pay the ticket, so they got a taillight busted on their car, and they end up in jail anyway.
Now, you can't be sent to jail in Texas for a broken taillight. But you can be sent to jail if you fail to pay the ticket for the broken taillight. That's a reality for too many Texans, Thompson said. And this bill pushes judges to consider whether a defendant can actually pay their fines or fees in the first place. And it tries to make sure people know they have the right to ask for alternatives like community service if they can't.
They're not getting off scot-free. We're getting something for something.
It's not clear how many people go to jail in Texas solely because they can't afford to pay fees or fines for tickets and low-level crimes, but advocates say that none should. Back in the 70s, the Supreme Court ruled that locking people up when they can't afford to pay a fine, debtor's prison, basically, is unconstitutional.
But the problem has been that implementing that Supreme Court decision just hasn't happened in a systematic way.
Rebecca Bernhardt heads the Texas Fair Defense Project.
So we still have a whole lot of courts that follow practices that, for all practical purposes, result in people who just can't pay going to jail because they just can't pay.
Bernhardt says there's more work to do to stop this entirely. Since the bill's passage, she says she's seen headlines announcing an end to debtors' prisons in Texas. In reality, she says it's more like Texas took a small step in the right direction. The bill's headed to Governor Greg Abbott for a signature, along with two bills addressing sexual assaults on college campuses. For more on those, here's the Texas Station Collaborative's Jen Rice.
Reducing sexual assault on campuses became a top priority for the legislature in response to Baylor University's ongoing high-profile lawsuits. Just 2 weeks ago, a new lawsuit brought fresh allegations that the school failed to investigate a reported rape involving members of the football team. An upsetting new study by the University of Texas at Austin also made national headlines when 15% of female students reported that they had been raped. Legislators say it's time for a cultural change on campuses. The bills passed this session aim to help campuses increase the number of victims reporting assaults, so schools can get a better understanding and address the problem. Austin Democrat Kirk Watson says some students don't come forward to report assaults if they're afraid of being punished for a different reason. Watson's bill, SB 966, defends students against an underage drinking charge, but only when it's linked to the incident.
What this does is it ensures that the defense isn't abused, and the intended purpose is to remove a reporting barrier for young people who suffer from sexual assault.
SB 966 has already been signed into law, effective September 1st. Another Watson bill, SB 968, will require colleges and universities to set up online anonymous reporting.
It's a reporting requirement that makes it easier so that we get more reporting.
The bill is now on Governor Abbott's desk, waiting to be signed. A related bill that would have created a stricter definition of consent died in the legislature. I'm Jen Rice in Austin with
Christopher Connolly in Fort Worth
and Rachel Osier-Lindley in Dallas.